Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we are recapping a busy tampering day in the NFL, a tampering day that included big contracts being given out left and right, but not by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's a smart move, and I'll tell you why today on the show. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit the like button there. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find me on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. Yesterday began the legal tampering period in the NFL, the time when teams can begin to talk to and pretty much just sign free agents. I know that none of this is going to be official until Wednesday, but it's really silly of the NFL to have this kind of two-day waiting period before the start of the league year when essentially all these deals are over and done with as of Monday, right? I mean, all the contracts that were not signed yesterday but agreed to yesterday are pretty much done. Monday was essentially the start of the league year, and free agents were able to move about. And there was a whole lot done yesterday. I mean, yesterday was a big day, big contracts given out. I know I've been touting over the past month that the Steelers should be more involved this year. Expect the Steelers to be more involved this year. And I have to say, I don't know what I was thinking. I was wrong on that, 100% wrong on that. Now, they're still probably going to be involved here and there. But, you know, I kept talking about the Steelers signing a big-name free agent, bringing up guys like C.J. Mosley, Eric Weddle, Quan Alexander, you know, big-name guys like that. It's silly. It's silly of me to have ever brought that up because the NFL is stupid. This is not 32 genius general managers running these organizations. These are by and large, guys who are just making it up as they go along. And they're trying to stay competitive in a league where everything moves so fast. And everyone's trying to copy what worked for the team prior. And everyone's trying to win free agency. And in doing so, they're giving out just absurd contracts. When you look at the contracts that were given out on Monday, and specifically to the guys, let's talk about the guys who I thought the Steelers could be interested in. And we'll start with Quan Alexander, who went to the San Francisco 49ers. We talked about potentially, you know, the Steelers going after C.J. Mosley at the inside linebacker position, and Quan Alexander could be a fallback there. We talked about, you know, what are you going to have to pay a C.J. Mosley? $10, $11, $12 million, approaching Luke Kuechly money, $12 million a year as the highest paid inside linebacker. Mosley could potentially reset that market at $13 million, well, he hasn't signed yet, but wherever he goes, he's going to more than reset the market because Quan Alexander of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers already reset the market on Monday. And let's understand who Quan Alexander is as a player. He's a fine young player in the NFL. He's a one-time Pro Bowl alternate who's coming off of an ACL tear on a bad Buccaneers defense. And the 49ers gave him a four-year, $54 million contract, making him now the highest-paid inside linebacker in the NFL by over $1 million. By over $1 million a year. 4 years, $54 million. Look, C.J. Mosley is easily going to approach the $16 million a year from whatever team he ends up signing with. It's an absurd contract. And yes, the Steelers have a need at inside linebacker, and I get the frustration of those of you who got all excited on Monday about this is it, this is the year, the Steelers finally have some cap space, they can go out and make a big deal, and the Steelers were, by and large, silent on Monday. But I'm glad that they were, and I know I've built it up over the past month, and I was wrong to do that, because, you know, for whatever reason, I forgot that the NFL is this stupid, that contracts are given out during this period that are just absurd. And there's no way that the Steelers should be giving out that kind of money. I know that the need at inside linebacker is dire. I understand that the need at corner is dire. Wide receiver, we've talked about it, right? I mean, this team has real needs. Needs that they cannot fill only via the draft this year. But regardless of that, you still can't pay Kwon Alexander $13.5 million a year. You can't pay CJ Mosley $15 or $16 million a year. Those are just not contracts that winning football teams give out. Those are desperate football teams. And you can make an argument that the Steelers are desperate and that they're in a window right now with Ben Roethlisberger, and losing Antonio Brown makes them even more desperate. But I'm still not on board with handing out that kind of money. I said you have to overpay, and I get it. And I felt like $10, $11, $12 million might be overpaying for CJ Mosley. But $15, $16, I mean, that's just absurd money. You can't, you just can't do that. So I'm glad the Steelers stayed away. Yeah, I mean, then there was other, I mean, you look at the, and by the way, the safety market, we've talked about the safety market potentially being one where the Steelers could get some value when they ultimately release Morgan Burnett. You have to understand now, you kind of understand now why they haven't actually released Morgan Burnett just yet. Because safeties are, whereas last year, I mean, none of the safeties got paid. Right? We went all offseason with no Eric Reed, no Trey Boston was out of a job for the entire offseason. None of the safeties got paid last year other than Morgan Burnett. This year, I mean, all the safeties aren't just getting paid. I mean, they're getting the same style, Kwon Alexander style, ridiculous contracts. Landon Collins, an in-the-box safety from the New York Giants, 6 years, $84 million for an in-the-box. I understand Landon Collins is very, very good. But you look at what Trey Boston, Eric Reed, and again, what all those safeties went through a year ago, and now this year, all of a sudden, you know, I guess the NFL found Jesus when it comes to safeties, but $14 million a year for Landon Collins, whew, that is a pretty price to pay for an in-the-box safety. And I mean, even Tyrann Mathieu, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you have to understand why the Chiefs are overpaying here, right? They have that desperate need, and they feel like they have to go out and make a big splash, and they did. They went 3 years, $42 million for Tyrann Mathieu. That was the guy who Steeler fans were looking at this offseason. Could they make that splash? I don't know that they can make that splash at $42 million over 3 years. Again, $14 million is the going rate now for these top-tier safeties. It's just, it's, these contracts are just absurd. And so, again, like I said, I'm glad the Steelers are kind of waiting on the sideline. Not to say that there's no one left, right? That the market has completely dried up to this point. It has not. There's still players out there. Now, I know a lot of people keep bringing up Golden Tate. Golden Tate's still out there. I still push back on the Golden Tate thing, with the idea that he's a slot receiver and the Steelers need an outside guy. And the Steelers not just need an outside guy, they need a vertical threat. And Golden Tate fits neither of those. I understand that he's a Steelers type player and that he's competitive, he's physical and all of that, but I still don't buy into the fact that he fits what the Steelers need at the position. As I said, CJ Mosley's still available, although I think CJ Mosley is long gone for this team. Jordan Hicks still out there as an inside linebacker. Thomas Davis as a veteran, potentially as an inside linebacker. Again, I look down this list. Jamie Collins still out there. I think the inside linebacker that the Steelers are most likely to re-sign is LJ Ford. I know some of you were angry yesterday when I said I think it's most likely the Steelers re-sign at wide receiver. I think it's most likely they re-sign Justin Hunter. And again, I don't even think that that's the best move. I just think it's the most likely, especially as I look down this list of wide receivers and given what the market is doing, what the market is giving to these receivers. You got Devin Funches on a one-year $13 million deal, and everyone's talking about John Brown and bringing in John Brown to be that outside guy. He could be, you know, the cheap alternative here. I mean, John Brown's not going to be cheap anymore. You're not getting John Brown for $4 or $5 million a year. You're going to get John Brown for closer to 10 a year. I mean, do you want the Steelers to be their one big free agent this year to be a 29-year-old John Brown who's on his third team? I guess that fills the need, but, you know, it doesn't leave room for any other free, really big-name free agents to be brought in. And then you just keep going down the list. I can't find quality veteran receivers that fit that need. I guess the one that stands out, I mean, there's Chris Conley, who Christopher Carter keeps bringing up. And that actually may be the right choice at the position because, again, he's an outside receiver, got some speed there. He can beat you deep. Although, look, he's going to have to improve greatly from where he left off in Kansas City. And then the other guy that stands out to me as far as getting a value play, and we talk about, not wanting to bring back Justin Hunter because of what a disappointment he's been over the past 2 years. And that's probably the right thing to do. You know, look, Justin Hunter has been a failed experiment over 2 years, looked good in practice, never looked good on the field. And he was given every chance in the world in 2018, especially considering how many problems James Washington had, you know, maintaining his starting position. You know, Justin Hunter kept giving, they gave him shot after shot, and he never came through. So if you want another project, I mean, Kevin White from the Chicago Bears is a guy who you can get on the super cheap, similar to Justin Hunter, former first round pick, big, fast, deep threat. But, you know, again, Kevin White's got 25 career receptions in Chicago. I mean, it's a complete bust from Kevin White. But if you want to bring in a guy like that, again, as a cheap veteran, you know, I think Kevin White could fill that, especially, you know, if you're moving on from Justin Hunter, but still want to have a guy on the roster who's a bigger, taller receiver who you can, you know, have as a project over the next couple of years. I think Kevin White fills that need. But again, he doesn't fill the need of a guy who could potentially start in 2019. I just don't know who that guy is going to be. I honestly, you know, maybe it's Chris Conley. Maybe they do overpay for John Brown. But it can't be where they are today. I mean, they have to address this position, not just in the draft, but I think they also have to address it in free agency. Oh, by the way, we should talk about the fact that Bradley Roby is on the Steelers' radar. So it's not that the Steelers were completely out of the picture on Monday. There was a rumor from a guy in Denver that said that the Steelers are in the running for Bradley Roby. Now, there's a ton of other teams involved as well. It was James Palmer in Denver saying that, quote, Broncos former first-round pick Bradley Roby getting a lot of interest. Looks like right now it could be down to the Texans, Browns, Steelers, 49ers, Raiders, and Broncos. So, you know, there's a couple teams involved there with the Steelers. And if the Steelers are going to be getting into a bidding war with Bradley Roby, I said this yesterday. Are you paying Bradley Roby $7, $8 million a year? Because that's probably what he's asking for. And if there are five or six teams involved in that race and he starts pushing that price higher, how close to $10 million a year for Bradley Roby are you willing to go? And I understand that there's a need at that position. But I mean, how much are we overpaying for these guys? Because Bradley Roby's a guy who, again, never was a capable starter. Always thought of as a project. He could play in that system. But once he got the starting role in 2018, he was a disappointment. And that's why Denver's letting him go and looking elsewhere at the position. You know, this has to come up, is if you're bringing in a project at corner, do you trust the Steelers and that coaching staff and their ability to coach up Bradley Roby, given their history at the position? It's tough. It's tough. And I'm not going to be disappointed if they do end up bringing Bradley Roby, because he's, to me, as I look down the corner list, he's the best available guy, or at least has the best upside of all the young guys that are available. There's no one I'm looking at the corner position and saying, you know, that could be a potential starter. So, you know, I actually wouldn't hate the Bradley Roby signing, but again, we're talking about a player who's going to make close to $10 million. That's, you know, I don't know. This free agency class, man, it is just crazy, crazy money. And then the other thing we need to talk about here with free agency is the former Steelers. Jesse James signed a contract with the Detroit Lions. This was expected, not that he would go to Detroit, but that he would go elsewhere. There's no details yet on the contract, or at least when I'm recording this, I don't have details on the contract. I've heard somewhere in the range of $5 million a year. I think that makes sense. As I said, if he could get a mid-range contract like that, that, you know, more power to you, Jesse. Good luck in Detroit. The Steelers and the Steelers kind of signaled this, that Jesse James was likely to go elsewhere when they gave Xavier Grimble that tender for $2 million. So the Steelers are essentially going to save some money here. You know, the $3 million that between Jesse's $5 million a year and Xavier Grimble's $2 million. Now, look, Xavier Grimble has to step up in a big way. You know, we talk about Justin Hunter and the disappointment that he's been. You know, Xavier Grimble's been better than Justin Hunter, but, you know, he certainly has not lived up to the potential, especially if you go to training camp, you watch this guy in practice. I mean, he's a monster out there. This is, we talk about workout warriors. Xavier Grimble is the workout warrior for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just, you know, doesn't come through on the field enough. Now, he's had some big plays. I think none bigger than the should have been a touchdown against the Denver Broncos. But, you know, look, plays like that, and he's had some big touchdown catches throughout his career. Plays like that show you he can be a useful tight end in this system, and he has been a useful tight end in this system when he holds on to the football on his way into the end zone. But it still does make tight end a need going into the draft. I know a lot of people right now, a lot of Steeler fans right now, are enamored with that LSU tight end, Foster Moreau, I think is his name. I haven't watched tape on him yet, although I know he killed the combine. Anytime you kill the combine, you know, right now, you know, a week out from the combine, you're going to be all the buzz. Right now, let's see what happens. We get through pro days and all that. We get closer to the draft. But I expect, and look, this is not going to be a high round pick, although I know I've brought that up before. You know, could a Noah Fant or a TJ Hockenson in the first round surprise people? Still think that's it. There's an outside shot of that. But I think this is going to be one of those later round picks, right? The fifth round pick the Steelers got from the Raiders could be that time when the Steelers take their replacement for Jesse James in the draft. And then the other player that I want to talk about is Le'Veon Bell. We haven't talked about Le'Veon in a while on this podcast. Kind of was over and done with him when he decided not to show up last season at the deadline. But now let's talk about where Le'Veon Bell sits today. This has been the moment that I have been most intrigued by this entire process, especially when he decided he was going to sit out, not just for half the year and only make $7 million, but when he was going to sit out the entire year and forfeit the entire $14.5 million that the Steelers were going to give him a year ago. How was he possibly going to make up that money in free agency? And I understand there's a health aspect to this and a wear and tear aspect of this that he was factoring into that. I get that. But $14.5 million is a lot of money to pay a running back in this NFL. And 2018, the regular season, and what we saw from the running back position in 2018 did nothing to help the cause of Le'Veon Bell going out and getting his big contract that he wants this offseason. No word yet on where he's, you know, what teams are interested in him other than the Jets, which have been the rumor throughout this entire process. I saw a rumor that the Bears could potentially be involved in the Le'Veon sweepstakes. I guess that would be interesting. There was also a report that they were looking at trading Jordan Howard, their starting running back currently. Pairing Le'Veon Bell with Tariq Cohen, you know, it's one of those situations, and we talked about this when Le'Veon Bell was a Steeler, right? The Steelers didn't want to take Le'Veon Bell off the field. Do the Bears want to take Le'Veon Bell off the field? I mean, they have their own system. They'll deal with that. However, I'm more interested in the money, the contract that Le'Veon Bell is given. Is he going to get his big money? Remember, the Steelers reportedly offered him 5 years, $70 million last offseason. $14 million a year for Le'Veon Bell. A lot of that was front-loaded, but as the Steelers do these contracts, it did not include a lot of guaranteed money. And that, I think, was the fear for Le'Veon Bell. Now, the Steelers don't have a history of cutting guys early in their contract. You know, Morgan Burnett is kind of going to be the exception this offseason if he gets cut. And by the way, Morgan Burnett has not been cut yet. And as we talked about, it could be because the safety market is a little insane right now. We'll have to see how that shakes out. But for Le'Veon Bell, how does this play out in a way that doesn't make him look foolish for sat out 2018? He could have accepted it. Look, he could have accepted 5 years, 70, and I understood why he didn't accept that deal. At that point, Todd Gurley had just gotten paid. He got his big money. Or had he gotten paid by that point? It might have actually been after that point that Todd Gurley got. It was after he turned down, because that's why he decided to sit out the entire year, is because of the money that Todd Gurley got. But look where we are now with Todd Gurley. He's got arthritis in his knee, and that's why they couldn't play him throughout the playoff run. And oh, by the way, C.J. Anderson in that playoff run looked pretty good in his place. C.J. Anderson, who they got off the street for basically the league minimum. Look what happened when Kareem Hunt, who was a young, you know, we're not talking about Kareem Hunt, a 27, 28-year-old running back who's had 400 touch-plus seasons in his past. No. Kareem Hunt was a guy in his prime, second year of his career, right? And when he left and they plugged in Damian Williams, that offense didn't miss a beat. Look at what happened with James Conner in Pittsburgh, running behind that same offensive line that did so well for Le'Veon Bell. And James Conner didn't miss a beat in that offense either. So what is the market right now for running backs? What is the market right now for a top-tier running back like Le'Veon Bell? Is there a market for a $15, $16 million a year running back like Le'Veon thinks he should be? And by the way, he considers himself a running back and a wide receiver, which, you know, there's some truth to that. He's very good in the passing game as well. I'm keeping a close eye on that situation just as much as I am anything the Steelers are doing over the next week. I want to see how this Le'Veon situation plays itself out. I have a feeling that Le'Veon Bell is going to end up accepting a deal somewhere in the range of 4 years, $50 million. That's that. If I had to put my money down, I would say that is the kind of contract Le'Veon Bell is going to get offered and going to have to accept. And 4 years, 50 is not 5 years, 70. It is considerably less. And I understand the guaranteed money in that contract will be more for Le'Veon as far as the 4 years, 50. It'll be more than the 10 or 11 or whatever it was that the Steelers were offering. But the Steelers don't cut guys. And by the way, Le'Veon, you sat out last year and you threw $14.5 million away anyway. There's no way he's making that money up this offseason. Something to watch for in the coming days. The other thing to really watch out for in the coming days is Bradley Roby. How close does that get? Do the Steelers actually make that splash, address the cornerback position in free agency? Doesn't address all of their needs, as I've said. Just like wide receiver, cornerback has the problem of you need a starter, and you also probably need some depth. Are we comfortable with Artie Burns as being our first cornerback off the bench? I don't think anyone in Pittsburgh is going to be comfortable with that. So just because they take a corner in free agency or they take a wide receiver in free agency doesn't mean that doesn't become a need in April in the draft. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.